What is up, everyone? Welcome back to our little podcast here at Fandango. My name is Eric Davis. Joining me, as always, is Sean O'Connell Kent. What's going on, Sean? This is a big week, man.
I'm wearing my horn-rimmed glasses. Nobody can recognize me at all. I'm blending in beautifully.
This is a huge week. This is a week we've been anticipating for a long time. Man of Steel comes out this weekend. So does This Is the End. We'll talk about both of them, primarily Man of Steel. This is a film I said earlier this summer, I don't think it'll make more money than Iron Man 3, but I think it'll be the most popular movie of the summer. I look at Man of Steel very much. Sean and I have both seen it, so you know, and we'll definitely stay away from spoiling it. So you can listen to this whole podcast if you haven't seen Man of Steel yet, and know that we're not going to, you know, spoil all the film's best moments. But when I look at Man of Steel, and let's start here. We're going to talk about whether or not it's the best Superman movie. I think that's where we're going to go with this podcast because, you know, people are interested in, and we can generally speak about the film without spoiling it and how it stacks up against the other Superman movies. But for starters, I look at Superman, I look at Man of Steel like I look at Burton's Batman movies versus Batman Begins. Like when we took that jump from the more comedic superhero, more comedic comic booky Tim Burton Batman movies or Joel Schumacher Batman movies that were more about the comedic bits. And now and then Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins started with a more serious, grounded in the real world dramatic Batman movie. And I think that's kind of what's happening here with Superman, going from the more comedic Richard Donner movies and Superman Returns to a more dramatic, grounded in the real world. What would it be like if this Superman really did show up in our world as it exists today?
Right.
And so, you know, I think a lot of people have been waiting for this kind of Superman movie for a very long time. They haven't really been able, you know, not since Superman 1 and 2, I would say, and there are definitely defenders of part three. I love Richard Pryor in that movie, but I think it's been a long time coming, and this is a big moment to say, did they get a Superman movie right? And where does it stack up against the other Superman movies? I've gone on record on movies.com. I wrote a piece. I said this is the best Superman movie, and you can go there and read why I think it's the best Superman movie, and I'll mention some of that now. What do you think?
I think it depends what you want out of a Superman movie. And I think that Man of Steel can deliver on some aspects that earlier movies were not able to, if only because the technology has finally allowed Zack Snyder, the director of Man of Steel, to replicate some of the things that, you know, it's so much easier for a comic book artist to put onto a page. This is without a doubt the most epic in scale and scope Superman movie we've ever seen. And I don't think it spoils anything to let you guys know that you're going to spend time on Krypton and you're going to spend time Snyder takes and his screenwriter, David Goyer, take a sci-fi aspect into this story where, you know, they really root a lot of it into the existence of Krypton as another planet and an entire society that lived on this planet. And they treat Superman, Kal-El, as an alien who's completely foreign to our planet and is supposed to be viewed that way. And I thought that was a really interesting spin on the story that earlier films probably couldn't have taken, just because to do a sci-fi story where you still had such physical props and it would require so much more attention to detail. It was really hard to do in a way that it's easier now because of what technology affords a filmmaker. And so you can do these sweeping scenes in space, and you can do these fights that go from one side of a city to another, and it's believable. It's very credible. And so I think if you've been waiting for the action-packed Superman movie and you were a little bit disappointed by the action in either Donner's first movie or in you know, Superman 2, which had more fighting and had more action, this blows them away. However, if you're a purist and there are certain things about Superman that you need to see done properly, and especially like with his Clark Kent secret identity and his role in the Daily Planet, there's not a lot of that. There's very little of that. And I think you might want more of that and probably start looking toward the sequel.
I like what Man of Steel does in terms of relating to Superman. I've never been able to invest in Superman as a character because I've never been able to really relate to him, especially in the Donner movies. You know, he kind of just flies into Metropolis and everybody's like, oh, okay, yeah, this guy just kind of flying around. There it is. And I love the approach of just – you know, that's kind of where we're at these days. We're really grounding these giant epic movies in the real world, giving people access points where they can relate and they can invest more in the characters. And I like the way that Krypton thing is set up. We've never seen this extended, set up for Superman. And because they set up everything on Krypton and between the politics and the good guys and the bad guys, it helps you invest in the character, I think, a little bit more when he comes to Earth. And seeing him as like this loner and this drifter and a guy who's afraid to be who he really is, I think there are a lot of really interesting themes in this film. I think they're not overt, but I think there are definite religious themes in the movie. You know, Superman is 33 years old in this movie. Jesus Christ was 33 when he sacrificed himself on the cross. Their sacrifice is a big theme in the film. It plays heavily throughout. And
Eric, there's a ham-fisted scene in a church.
There's
Jesus over his shoulder wearing a red cape. Yeah, there are definite homages to Christianity.
There is. You know, and David Goyer, who wrote it, he grew up Jewish, but he grew up in a community, I think, that didn't accept him as being Jewish. And he was I think he was bullied a lot because of his religion growing up. And so I think some of that experience of growing up not feeling like he belonged because he's not the right religion is felt in this film, I think. I think he's expressing some of that in this movie, which I think is interesting for people who don't know a lot about the behind the scenes and the people who created the film. And I like that aspect of it. I liked its attempt to connect emotionally and spiritually with its audience instead of just saying wham, bam, bam, pow, pow, pow. You know, I think like a movie like Star Trek Into Darkness is a fun movie, but it doesn't really connect with you emotionally the way this film does, at least in my opinion.
I find it interesting that now if you take different composites of the different Superman movies that we have, you know, at our fingertips, if you want a lot of, you know, Smallville and you want a lot of Ma and Pa Kent, you go to Donner's, you know, first one, essentially. If you want a lot of the Lois and Clark relationship, you can go to Superman 2. And if you want Kal-El just
– Superman Returns. That has a lot of that. Yeah.
Yep, that's true. Very true. And now if you just want, you know, an action-driven Superman – utilizing most of his powers, this is the movie that you've sort of been waiting for.
Yeah, you know, and it's an origin story, and I think it's unlike Batman Begins. Batman Begins, I felt like, told Batman's origin story. It took its time telling that story. This one, it races. You know, it's a blockbuster for the era, this era of blockbusters, where these films have to appeal to everyone at the same time, and so we get a little bit of everything, literally, in this film. And it may feel a little bit rushed. It may feel like we kind of rushed through the story a little bit. But in the end, I definitely think that if they didn't make a perfect Superman movie, I think they're on the right track in terms of rebooting Superman. And if I was going to ask for more in the sequel, which apparently has just been greenlit with the writer David S. Goyer and Zack Snyder coming back, if I was going to ask for something more in addition to where they are, I would say a little bit more humor.
Oh, yes, definitely. One of the knocks that I have against Man of Steel, and I found a lot to like about it, but I think that I liked it a little bit less than you did, is that it wasn't fun. And I think that they are trying to go after what's quote unquote the darker, you know, Batman tone. And maybe this is what DC would like to do with its next wave of films. And then we hope that Man of Steel is going to trigger a wave of DC films that would include Batman and that would include maybe Wonder Woman. It could potentially build to a Justice League of America. And, you know, immediately after our screening, people started making comparisons to the Avengers. And I just think even Man of Steel exists in a different level than Avengers does, because Avengers to me, it was quippy, you know, and it had some of that humor to it. And it had a lightness to it that even though they were devastating a city in the final battle, There was a fun element of it that I look for, that personally I look for in a blockbuster. But, you know, people who I went to Man of Steel with said they didn't want that. They wanted, you know, a more solemn tone, and they wanted – they would have been taken out of the story if Superman started cracking wise as he was, you know, battling Zod. And he doesn't at all. It's a very serious face-off between the two of them. It might be a little bit intense for young kids from that reason. I don't think that Warner or Snyder is really going after a young audience with this. I think they're aiming at teens and people who want to see a little bit more grit out of their Superman story.
Yeah, see, I mean, I agree with you, but I also think it's a good film for families, definitely more so than Iron Man 3 and Star Trek Into Darkness, two films that really dealt heavily with terrorism. This film, I feel like, is a little bit more fantasy. Mixed with kind of a real world superhero movie, and I do think there, you know, there's not a lot of blood, and the fight scenes are restricted more to punching and throwing people through buildings, and so I don't think there's a lot here that would scare a younger child, 8-9 years old. I think that somebody like a kid that age could see Man of Steel and really enjoy it.
So. We already know that a sequel's coming. We can already begin speculation about, you know, what direction it can go in. Eric, I'm really curious about what you think when, you know, we think Man of Steel is going to be, you know, what Iron Man was to Marvel, and that it is potentially going to map out the next stage of DC films. Do you think it did a good job of doing that? Do you think that it had enough, laid enough groundwork and maybe had enough connections to, you know, there have been Easter eggs that are pointed out that link it to Batman. There are hints to Lex Luthor. There are all these different things. What are your thoughts about what this does for the future of DC, and how does it start laying the groundwork for a potential larger DC universe?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I think that they should approach it a little bit differently than Marvel. Marvel, from the tone of the movies to the approach that they're approaching their movies, are completely different. You know, like you said, this has a darker tone. This more has more of a tone like the Batman movies, and this seems to be something they're committing themselves to. They're not copying Disney, and Disney's I think making their Marvel movies a little bit lighter and a little bit more comical, whereas Warner Brothers, and I give them credit, they're saying, no, we're staying committed to what we started with the Batman franchise. And so what I think they should do is I definitely want to see another Superman movie. I think we deserve a sequel that is now past the origin story, and we could see kind of what a Superman movie looks like without having to tell the whole coming from Krypton and the baby and the whole nine yards. But I think after that, what they should do is put Superman and Batman in the same movie, and that's it, just a Superman and Batman movie. And I think they should use that Superman and Batman movie to kind of work towards Justice League. And go that route. I don't think that they should launch a bunch of solo films like Marvel has. I think that they should just do a Superman sequel, and then let's get right to it. Let's do a Justice League movie, but let's do a more Superman and Batman focused Justice League movie.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think that you're right. We talked about rushing through things, and we definitely don't want them to rush through things. We don't want to all of a sudden start slamming heroes together who we haven't seen yet. I think now they've established Superman's backstory. They've established where he exists in this world. You know, Snyder has gone on record in some of his interviews to say that, yes, he does believe the other members of the Justice League are part of this universe that he's considering. But, you know, Marvel took how many years to map that out? And you cannot rush these things. You can't zoom through them, because an audience is going to start to see where the seams are. And I don't think that that's going to benefit them.
Yeah, I do hope that in the next Superman movie, I'm sure Lex Luthor will play a part in it. But I do hope that they also bring in some other elements from Superman's past, Brainiac, some of these larger than life villains. Because I think when you just drown a Superman movie in only Lex Luthor stories, it just starts to get a little bit old. And yes, Superman has a really great history of villains that they can play around with. And I think one sequel that's going to really take advantage of that is Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man 2 is gonna go a little bazonkers with the villains, but I think in a creative way. I hope they take advantage of that. I hope they bring in some other than Lex Luthor, who we know will play a part in the second movie. Let's bring in some of these other villains that can actually be a match for Superman, you know, because that's the biggest thing with Superman is that, you know, I was watching Superman Returns the other day, and there's that really cool scene where the guy's got that giant gun and he's shooting bullets at Superman and he's walking right towards the bullets, and it looks really cool in a trailer, but it's exactly why it's hard to invest in Superman, because he's so impenetrable.
Yes.
And I hope that whatever they do, that they bring in villains that are a match for Superman and are fun to watch on screen.
And that's so interesting that you brought up Spider-Man 2, and it really has set up a point where, you know, with The Dark Knight, we finally got the Joker, and they teased that beautifully, and that ended up being, you know, for some, a better movie. And then we know that Spider-Man 2 is going to, because you already know who he is. You don't have to waste time with setting all that up. And I can anticipate liking Man of Steel more, because I think that we're going to be able to, like you say, hit the ground running and just start going into a threat that's going to be posed to him and potentially to our planet. Although this one does have a sort of planet-threatening villain in Zod. So, you know, it just feels like this is going to be a massive blockbuster. People are lining up for it. It was on the Today Show this morning with the anticipation being through the roof for it. It seems like this is the movie that people have circled of. We're going to go as this is our summer experience. But I wonder how it's going to do.
Is it the best Superman? Let's answer that question. Is it the best Superman movie? I say it's the best Superman movie for this exact time period, for this generation. I think I would need to see it a couple more times and have a little bit more space to officially completely declare it the best Superman movie ever made.
Yeah, if we're clarifying it for this generation, yeah, it lives up to that. I don't know what the best one is. I think they're all flawed.
Yeah.
The Donner one is – the first one is – the closest to just mapping out the history of Superman. But I mean, it's a tough sit. It's a long movie. It has its problems. You know, the Lex, Miss Tessmacher stuff, it's corny. You know, it doesn't hold up. It was probably great back then, but it's a little cheesy now. I think that younger kids are going to really respond to Man of Steel because it moves at their pace. It has the kind of big screen action that they want, and they'd be bored by the earlier Superman movies. So, you know, I think it's the natural progression of the character on screen, and I'm interested to see where it goes with it. But I'd have a hard time putting best on Man of Steel.
I will say it's the best Father's Day movie to see this weekend, and we're going to segue fast into This Is the End. But there's a lot of great themes in the film in terms of, you know, Superman. Man's birth father and his adoptive father, and I can see exactly why they positioned this film to come out Father's Day weekend. And if you're looking to go see a movie in theaters with your father this weekend, I would definitely see Man of Steel. Sean,
unless your father is a stoner, in which case This Is the End might be the right choice for him to go to.
Let's briefly discuss This Is the End. It came out in theaters last night. It's getting a couple of day head start on Man of Steel. I really liked it. I think it's a really funny film. If you like these guys and their brand of potty-mouthed, foul-mouthed humor, I would say that Pineapple Express is a great film to watch to get prepare yourself for This Is the End. But yeah, I mean, look, it's not going to change move mountains or anything, but I think it's just watching these guys riff on each other is a lot of fun to watch if you embrace their type of humor.
All right, my turn to go one step further with it, because I liked it an awful lot. And, you know, someone made the comparison, and once I heard it, I couldn't stop thinking about it. You know, I think that this might be Ghostbusters for this generation. With a group of funny guys, you know, who kind of know their humor and know how to play off of each other. But Eric, the thing that impressed me most about This Is the End is when you got to the apocalypse scenes and they had to fall back on special effects, quite often that's the place where a comedy will just let you down, because they're like, hey, look, we're writing jokes, but we're just going to sort of wink our way through the action. I thought the action in this was pretty great, and that, you know, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who co-directed it for the first time, did an admirable job of putting together a really good apocalypse movie.
Yeah, I actually called it the most realistic apocalypse movie ever made, because in the event of a real apocalypse, we're all going to be asses to each other. Let's be real. You know, even to our best friends, we're going to say, no, I get the Snickers bar, you don't. And so I think versus some of these other apocalyptic movies where all of a sudden the town bands together and everyone says, we'll all help each other. No, that's not going to happen. We're going to lock ourselves in our houses. and we're not going to let our neighbors come in and take our food.
Right.
That's what's really going to happen. And so I really like that aspect of it. You can relate to that. And, you know, the comedy is a little bit juvenile.
Yeah,
It's silly and it's raunchy and it's very male dominated with the exception of a couple of really funny moments when Emma Watson is involved.
Right.
So, you know, expect that sort of tone. But if you like these guys, and, you know, I do like that Ghostbusters reference because it is interesting to see all of these guys together. And it shows you what a Ghostbusters movie could look like today, and what it might look like today if you went that route. But yeah.
And I'd argue that This Is the End probably has one of the best endings I've seen on screen this year. I mean, without spoiling anything, it had my preview audience like on their feet clapping and laughing. It was out of left field and terrific.
It is. It's really funny. Both these films, both these films, This Is the End and Man of Steel, are about sacrifice. And I think we would both agree that you could sacrifice some of your money this weekend and see both of these films.
Yes. I would advise you to. I think this is a good time to be going to the movies this weekend, and they're both completely different, but I think enjoyable in their own ways.
Great. Sean, thanks a lot. You know, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Man of Steel in depth next week when we can feel free to talk about some spoilers and stuff.
Spoilery, yeah. Maybe plan ahead to Man of Steel 2. See, I think that they've set the stage for something exciting, but I can't mention it now. We'll talk about it next week.
We will talk about it next week. Everyone, go see Man of Steel. See This Is the End. We both support both films. And enjoy your weekend at the movies, everyone.